For each of us, God's priority for us is prayer. And Jesus tells us that we pray in proportion to how much we feel our human inability. If we have much felt weakness, we usually have much prayer. If we have little felt weakness, we have little prayer. That's why the confident disciple says, how come we can't do this? And Jesus said, that only is accomplished through prayer and fasting, through seeking God and denying the flesh. And prayer merges those. We seek God, and as we seek Him, we deny our own flesh and our own strength. And we say, it's not us, it's you alone that can do that. Well, that leads us to this concept that prayer is the way that we penetrate others that we're seeking to minister to. And so that takes us to this concept that if prayer is the most powerful tool we have, Jesus adds a principle to it. He says in Matthew 18, 19, he says, if any two of you agree in prayers touching anything, I'll do it. And Peter says that the most powerful place we can have is agreement in our marriages. And so what we need are the ultimate power couples. You know, remember, about 4 years ago, everyone was talking about the greatest power couple in the country was Bill and Hillary. You know, she was a upcoming senator and he was the president. And we had this power couple, and there have been a lot of power couples in history. But you know what the real power couple is? Not someone that has the fading limelight of the political or financial or military or world scene, but someone whose life is bound to what God is bound to. And that's a couple that absolutely agrees and joins their hearts together in prayer. And to do that, I would encourage you to remember that the Bible tells us that there are four areas we are to be regularly praying about if we love someone. And that's what's on those little cards. And that's what we now have on the big cards, because the little cards were too small for some people to see. Now we have the little card big. But that's what we're looking at. And what we're looking at are these four parts. And the first one is that you are to pray for spiritual reality. Did you know that's what is so wonderful to see? Bonnie and I were talking as we were coming home down the long drive through the windy Adirondacks to the airport. And we talked about what's so refreshing about Word of Life's ministry. And that is that when you get near those people, I mean, spiritual life is so real to them. It isn't just something that's on Sunday. It's not just something when they're in the life group or the Bible study. I mean, they're talking about it all the time. I mean, they're just aware of God. That's called spiritual reality. We should have spiritual reality. The things of God should be as real to us as the news, as the email, as whatever we love in life. It should be real. It should be that when we open this book, it's just real. It comes alive. He talks to us. And we hear and respond. Spiritual reality is number one. The second is personal integrity. Did you know, you don't have a very powerful life for the Lord if it isn't real to you. And if you don't have personal integrity, then it doesn't matter how real your spiritual life is. If your activity, if your walk doesn't line up with what you say, you don't have anything to say, right? And so personal integrity is something we have to pray for in those we love. Not just that they love the Lord, but that it comes through and it changes their life. Because if you believe right, you'll behave right. Remember, that's what the Bible says. And when you find someone that's not behaving right, there's not personal integrity, their life doesn't match up with their talk, then there's something they're not believing. They have not turned to God from darkness to light. They have not seen Him deliver them because they're still living like they're undelivered. It's kind of like He set them free from jail and they're still in the cell. Right? He broke their shackles, but they're still wearing them. You remember when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was all bound by the grave clothes. Do you remember what Jesus said? Loose him and let him go. He's alive. Don't wear the grave clothes. A lot of people, they say they're alive, but they're still walking around bound and like they're still in the grave of sin. So there should be personal integrity. Then there should be relational stability. Did you know the secret of Jesus' ministry was that those closest to Him saw that He was even more wonderful than those in public thought He was? Because they were closest to Him and they saw not only integrity, they saw reality. They saw that Jesus up close was just everything He said. And did you know, if your life in Christ does not resonate with those closest to you, then you ought to stop the public ministry and get that straightened out. Because the Lord says, if you don't know how to take care of your own home, one of the qualifications of a spiritual leader is that their home life is as real and full of integrity and reality as their public life, their church life. You know, all of us can look good on Sunday, right? We can smile. You can do almost anything for a limited period of time. But is there that relational stability? Is there real, real God obedience in the inner circle at home with the family, with those you are married to and live with? And finally, the last area we pray about. And by the way, you can't pray for these if you don't have them. So in other words, the most powerful prayer life comes from someone that has spiritual reality in their own life, has personal integrity, has in the stability of their relation of all those that they relate to in life. But the last thing is we pray for eternity, for them to be living for eternity. And boy, is that hard nowadays. We live in the instantaneous. Eternity seems so far away, so distant. We live in the now. And God says that true spiritual life brings eternity to the now. In fact, Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 6. He says, lay hold on eternal life.